This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So again, we continue with Steve Mera joining us on the Paracast for the first time. He's been at this a long time, as you folks can tell. And when you talk about what people thousands of years ago knew when assembling these various landmarks, we forgot this knowledge, or what happened?
It's lost knowledge. I mean, that's as simply as it. I mean, we could all go out and do archaeological work and dig up ancient bones, but it doesn't tell us about our ancient ancestors in regarding their capabilities of, senses. Were they more attuned? Did they have psychic abilities? They certainly must have been more in tune to the frequencies we couldn't hear or feel, because, modern day human doesn't have those capabilities. I mean, they probably even had the capabilities of somehow understanding the frequencies of even planet Earth, which generates its own frequency. The new areas where to build and where to tap into these energy sources and utilize these energy sources for numerous different things. And some of those things were resonant chambers, which have been utilized many times for communicating with the other realm through the veil to these other entities. And there's been countless times this has been happening, and it can go back. I mean, my colleague who I work with, Barry Fitzgerald, he's got it back to something like 7000 BC in Botswana, where those things were happening. Of course, the entities they were dealing with at that time were said to be serpent-like, and of course this flood of this information and these type of incidents took place where we ended up with the serpent worship, and it's very prominent through the ancients. But what seems to happen is that the phenomena stays the same, but the mask is forever changing, and it continues to change, and it continues to be perceived differently over time periods. Even not just themselves, the occupants, or what these entities represent, but even their craft. We talk about, the Foo Fighters, which looks like tracer fire stuff, and ghost rockets, which look like very much like rockets during the 1940s, during the Second World War. We talk about things that, if we go further back in time, we talk about things that look most like ancient, and they are more sociable to that location, that time period. And as we've moved on, the phenomena seems to attract and move with us. We had the flying saucer, of course, and then we have the triangles, and now we have all sorts of different shapes. But sometimes they get it wrong. Sometimes there are people who are having experiences. They see the craft. They think to themselves, these entities couldn't have all fitted in that. It's got tripods for legs. It's got portholes on the side. It's got rivets around the porthole. It looks like something that's come from the 1930s. And it doesn't make any sense to them. Those type of incidents continue to take place even to modern day. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of people who had those incidents, has those strange encounters where it just doesn't add up. They've got something wrong on how it's been perceived. So can we ever really trust what we're experiencing, what we're seeing and what we're feeling? They seem to be the manipulators of that, and can produce the brain into thinking what you're seeing and what you're experiencing is something completely different. And that is also experienced within the paranormal realms. It's exactly the same phenomena. So they're both using the same source, if it is not all one source already.
It makes me think of certain kinds of ghostly phenomena in the form of apparitions, where people will see a full-bodied figure that, as far as they're concerned, is a real person. The apparition looks completely solid, none of this, misty Ghostbusters type of thing, but then they'll just abruptly disappear. And I wonder if with some of these UFO sightings, especially when it comes to interactions with occupants, whether or not it's the same kind of phenomena.
It's a very good question, and there is some evidence to point to that. There are a number of incidents that have taken place around the world where you're dealing with kind of what it might be a metaphysical phenomenon, evidence for the metaphysical phenomena. And there's a very famous case in some woods that took place in Scotland, where a gentleman who was kind of a park ranger saw a craft, it was landed, and two round probes dropped from this object and tried to grab him. He tore his trousers, and he tried to panic, and he eventually blacked out. But during that experience, the object was, one minute it was seen to be physical in nature, and the next minute it wasn't solid, it was apparitional. It just seems like it's jumping, or it's just skirting our reality. And we often say this, but he did say there was a slight shimmer to it, and that's also reported in some of the Phoenix Lights incidents. We have the lights over the mountains, of course, but there was also the other incidents of giant boomerang craft, which were seen very low and huge by many witnesses, but they all reported that it seems to have a shimmer to it. I mean, we have to question, are they just skirting our reality? So that, they may turn up on radar, they don't turn up on radar, they're kind of there and they're not there, with many reports of UFOs just simply fading out, disappearing, or vice the other way around, vice versa, where they suddenly just manifest in the sky from dot to a craft. It is a profound phenomenon, but everything supports the metaphysics in nature with this.
In your lecture, you talk about quantum mechanics, and the thing that stands out to me, and it makes me wonder whether if there weren't people around to see these things, would they manifest? All right? Like a haunted house. Is a haunted house haunted if there's nobody there to experience?
Yeah, it's a really good. It's like if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound?
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. Now we can rely on data. We can rely on radar data. We can rely on video, blanket monitoring of locations and witness phenomena take place. The problematics of this now is that most of the stuff that we see across the internet is usually disinformation, it's hoax, it's a bit dodgy. But there are authentic incidents that take place. We've done it ourselves with blanket monitored locations, and we've recorded phenomena take place. So we do believe phenomena does take place, but it might be completely perceived to be different if someone was there as opposed to being what's caught on camera. People have said this all the time. They said, well, this is what I caught on camera, but it didn't look like that. So what you're perceiving sometimes is not the same. And what we're realizing now through some of the experiments that have been conducted, and it's not us that really initiated this, this was the US military initiated this some time back, is that what's happening when people are having type of close encounter experiences or profound paranormal phenomena experiencing that, is that the brain waves are, even when they're wide awake, are somehow shifted into theta waves. And of course, that theta wave, brain wave, is that area where memories are made and false memories are included and perception can be changed and those sort of things. But a close encounter experience, these can happen literally within 20 seconds. You seem to be cognitive and watching a phenomena, and then within 20 seconds there's this conscious connection with the phenomena. The observer effect takes place and you are locked onto this. You're not even thinking about taking a photograph. You are locked onto this. And at that moment in time, you're in theta wave and you're not fully, you think you are, but you're not fully in control of what your perceptions are and what your capabilities are as well. I mean, and that can lead down a dark road sometimes, so sometimes it's best to know and how to react to those locations and best turn the opposite direction and go in a different way, as opposed to some sort of pushing the boundaries too far.
I was going to ask you something because I read your paper a couple of times and you were theorizing there that there's an interdimensional origin for UFOs because of the issues of sending constant traffic from one star system to another. And I'm going to ask you a question and then we'll do a cliffhanger and pick up on the other side. And that is, have you thought, though, that if ET is visiting us from another star system, they'd send one large or several large mother ships, set up bases here, so when they have to hang out or come back, they don't have to travel so far. Yeah. Anyway, we'll pick up on this line of questioning and lots more with Gene and Steve and Tim and all that good stuff. You're in
the Pedicast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Compliment your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Steve, you get the point. What I'm saying here is that if someone's coming here from another planet, another star system, they got to travel 50 light years, whether they have warp drive, wormholes, or take a voyage that takes decades or centuries. Whatever it is, they come here, they make bases here. if they need to hang out, they don't have to go back and forth. They may never go back and forth.
Absolutely. I mean, I would say from the research we've carried out that there seems to be enough evidence to support that they've been here for a huge length of time, if not right from the beginning. In fact, we might be the new kids on the block, to be honest with you. And there seems to be some evidence locally within our solar system that they've been around for quite some time. But I would say that any advanced extraterrestrial civilization would have found a lot easier way of traversing from one place to the other because it's so vast, the universe is. And I would likely lean towards that they found a way of jumping from one location to another by utilizing stars. I mean, if we look at the two SOHO satellites that have been pointing towards the sun for many years, the amounts of UFOs are seen in association around the sun going in and coming out is incredible. So maybe they use utilizing stars, or maybe they're jumping through, you know, utilizing stars to jump from one location to the other because of the tremendous magnetic anomalies that they have and being utilized maybe for that source, which falls in really with the new discovery from NASA that portals exist. I don't really like that word, but that's what they want to use. Their professional name is electron diffusion regions, and they said that they're vast, some of them, and some of them are stable as well. So we know that they're in existence, but what's the keeping clear of is those that are present in association to planet Earth is geophysics and geologics. And of course, those seem to be in a lot of locations where positive magnetic regions are. So the best thing for us is that we thought, well, it's a theory and it's a damn good one because of the statistics seem to show that. Let's prove it. Let's go out to these locations of over 200 nanotesla positive magnetic anomalies in areas where there is extreme low bacteria, because bacteria doesn't like magnetic energies, and see what happens. We got our answers very quickly from going to those locations. We were bang on with it matched our theory.
I'm trying to address a question on stargates. Magnetic gravitational anomalies around the sun would make sense. I mean, there have been a number of scientific papers that have been written over the years talking about how if you were to be able to develop some kind of warp drive, then the energy from the sun would be a perfect location to create such a stargate, such a gateway, so to speak. So considering that, you know, the Earth is, you know, just the third planet from the sun, it puts us in a really good location, I suppose, to be established a long time ago by other races. You know, because one of the things that I have always asked when it comes to the whole UFO phenomena is why the predominance of humanoid creatures, all right? Because if we are being visited by creatures that evolved on another planet in another star system light years away, what are the chances that they would actually evolve looking so much like us?
You've hit the nail on the head there. And we did our surveys, and it was almost touching 3,000 different type of entities which have been reported, and we got them documented. Over 3,000. Are we led to believe they're coming from all 3,000 different star systems? Sounds too much like Star Trek to me. You know, I mean, you watch Star Trek episode, all the aliens are all bipedal, human looking, except for the way their kind of faces and hands are and things like that. But, you know, it sounds too much like a Star Trek episode. And then I thought to myself, well, hang on a second. Are we really dealing with 3,000 different type of entities? Or are we dealing with a source that can produce you to think that they vary in size, shape, and differ so much from each other? You know, we've had, the clues are in between is when people have said it's changed shape, it's changed the way it looks, or it first seemed to perceive to be a horse, a deer, a bear, an owl, you know, and then I knew it wasn't, and then it became something. These are the clues that suggest, okay, it's manipulating the way we perceive them. So we can't go off, it basically throws out the window. We can't go off that it's 3,000 different type of entities. We have to say, okay, it could be a single source that we might be dealing with. And it's exactly the same in the paranormal. You know, sometimes people say, oh, well, you know, it appeared to be a jester, it appeared to be this, appeared to be, I've seen some horrific things during paranormal phenomena. But again, is it generated to spontaneously create fear? Fear induction is a very potent thing in the paranormal, especially poltergeist phenomena. It is also induced during close encounter experiences, where people suddenly are confused, they feel fear, dread, and especially regarding cryptids, you know, those type of encounters. But all of them have a connection to the smell of sulfur, from paranormal to demonological to the supernatural to the ufological.
You have a section in your lecture where you actually address the idea that there could be a reason that these things seem to go out of their way at times to produce a fear response, not only in people, but in possible animal mutilations.
Absolutely. When it comes to animal mutilations, I mean, I was banging my head for many years off the wall trying to figure out why, what's happening here. And according to the analysis from investigations carried out on these various different animals, and they do vary, and there's quite a lot of different animals that's been affected worldwide, and continue to still do, because I know France is having a terrible time with horse mutilations at the moment, that the key thing is that the animals, according to the samples taken from the brain, they knew that the animals are awake when they endure these attacks. And I don't think that's done accidentally. I think it's a purpose act, because at the time what happens is it causes so much fear and so much pain that the animal goes into superproduction of certain chemicals. Now, those chemicals rush to soft tissue. And where is soft tissue? Well, it's around the eyes, it's the mouth, it's the tongue, it's the anal area, it's the udders, it's those sorts of things. And this is where we're seeing the blood and the tissue being taken from. What lies in those areas is something called the mucous membrane. And this is that is associated with our immune system. So basically what's happening is that these animals at the time it's happening, their immune system is tripled at the time of the incident.
We will pick up on that in our next segment. What is going on there? With Steve, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA Breaking news update. Terror at a mall in Allen, Texas, when gunshots rang out, leaving 9 people, including the shooter, dead.
Among those who evacuated the Allen Premium Outlets on Saturday was Elaine Penacaro, who told me she was just doing a day of shopping with her daughter when happiness turned harrowing.
I jumped, behind a concrete pole, and my daughter, ran right into the store. Thank God she ran into the store, right away. And then I kind of crawled my way into the store and, started screaming to try to find her. And, luckily I was able to find her.
Penacaro heard shots in the distance before the gunfire approached her vicinity.
We were just a minute away from walking to my car, where we would have been right in the middle of it.
Allen Police Chief Brian Harvey said the shooter was killed by a city police officer who was at the mall on an unrelated call. Mage is the winner of the 149th Kentucky Derby. Corey Myers, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of 3 major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Let me understand this at the end of the previous segment. Their immune system is tripling in activity?
Yes, the immunity system goes into alert and cortisol. The immune system is just spiked at the time of these incidents through pain, through fear. What's happening is that the animal, everything that's where it would lie, the mucous membrane, with detail in the blood and soft tissue, and those locations are being taken. As far as I'm concerned, it's something associated to the immune system of these different animals, and this is the reasons why it's probably being done. And we also know that sometimes they're attacked from above, because there have been marks on the top of cattle where it seems to have been grabbed whilst it's been stood or running. Usually they single out a particular animal, which is usually isolated away from the rest of the herd or party. And on many occasions, they got the Caimbri body placement back down on the ground. They dropped them from height. They've been found with certain broken bones to show that it's an impact site, and that they've fallen up to 300 feet from in altitude, according to the impact wounds. And some of them, there's two different cases where they've been found in trees. Last I heard, I don't think cattle cow climb trees, really, I suppose. So, yeah, it's a big mystery, but I'm leading towards thinking that it's something associable to the immune system of these animals around planet Earth, because they're out in the elements all day long, all night long. And how do they survive to the general illnesses and colds and diseases and germs, which are in the thousands now around planet Earth from different areas. Initially, I thought maybe it was something associated to where they'd done, you know, nuclear bomb tests and how they might have reacted with animals over long periods of time. But no, that's not the case. I mean, we've had it in England, even with foxes and deers and badgers. So it's a phenomenon worldwide, and it's basically a scale of so many different animals, without going into too much depth, even allegedly humans as well on occasion.
Well, you also point out that the mutilation phenomena is not new. The modern UFO era, you know, supposedly started in the late 1940s, and the cattle mutilations became predominant in the late 60s and early 70s. However, cattle, animal, sheep mutilations have been going on for centuries.
Absolutely. I mean, I have cases from, there were cases that Barry, my colleague, dug out from Dublin, from the archives from in the 1600s, of incidents of mutilated animals. In fact, the phenomenon does have an invasion to iron, and I'll come back to that, but in them days, it was farmers would put iron rods into the fields to try and protect the livestock, and it actually did help on many occasions. But I was talking with an elderly gentleman from India, and he told me his grandfather, who lived on a farm in India, the lice used to come down from the mountains occasionally, and they were sent out as kids to get the livestock in as quickly as possible, because they also experienced this. Now, we're talking his grandfather as a child 200 years back, and there are records. If you look for them, there are countless records indicating that. The mutilation phenomenon is not a new phenomenon. You're absolutely right. It's been going on for many, many years.
But also makes me think of certain abduction cases where people seem to have been just tortured for no good reason. They try to interpret it afterwards as being like, you know, maybe they were being experimented on scientifically, but for all intents and purposes, these people were being tortured.
Absolutely, yeah, and they are terrible, some of those incidents. The problem is that we're trying to put it into human understanding of psychology. It's totally alien, because what we're dealing with is a phenomenon that simply is just agenda. You know, sometimes it might just be interested in an individual because, you know, wants to communicate and find out how much a child might be able to understand. There might be a horrific experience which people have reported and would never want to have that again. But we had to consider, well, what if it's just a gender? They're just doing a job. And sometimes, such law is, you could have a good experience, you might have a bad experience. There is no good and bad, I don't think. I think there is simply a gender, and they just go about. Because, you know what, they don't have sincerity. I mean, people might be kidded, because you've got to consider so much deception is involved here. They say one thing, they mean something different. They've said to people about who they've abducted that, oh, there might be a little discomfort. That discomfort led to one person being blinded for the rest of their life in severe pain the back of the eye was burnt out. That person has to, even now, after 30 years after the experience, it suffers. This is an ongoing thing. You know, he wasn't just, oh, I'm sorry about if there's any discomfort. That's ridiculous. There's no care in matter of this. I think it's just agenda. And I think they will say anything to us to try and get us to be manipulated into participating as best as way. I do think it's just agenda, and people perceive it to what they want it to be.
You know, it's just, to me, it's just such a fascinating phenomenon. Bringing in both the possible paranormal aspects and the ufological. So if you were approached by somebody who just is completely cold about all of this, I mean, how would you start to talk to them to try to convey a better understanding on how these phenomena could be part of the same, almost unified field?
Yeah, well, I would present the scientific papers which mm-hmm. we're putting together. I mean, we have only sent one there. There's three so far. We're working on the fourth one for peer review. So, but there's enough scientific data that shows that connection. beyond a shadow of a doubt. That's also been backed up by physically going to those locations and proving the theory. That's also been done. There is information that we gathered now through special scientific equipment, such as time displacement meters, where there are gravity wells where they manifest UFOs. They seem to last only up to around about 72 hours if you're lucky. So you've got to be there fast to get to be able to measure the distortion in the gravity. Because, you know, we knew this, but we just never really did anything with it. Years back, where people were reporting, I saw a UFO, it seemed to just suddenly appear to my left near, close to the ground, and I'm driving along, and the headlights of the vehicle start to bend towards the object. And I've got quite a number of documented incidences around the world of that very same thing reported. And you think to yourself, well, what can do that? Well, the only thing that light can't escape from is gravity. And if there's a gravity well there, that means that the light source gets pulled towards it. Now, the gravity well seems to be associated when there's a manifestation of a UFO and when it suddenly appears. It's like two things can't be in the same place and time. Something's got to give. So when it appears, what is in that vacuum, that area where it appeared, has to disappear, causing this gravitational well. They are measurable. They are detected through light source. In fact, you can use a laser to actually pull through a prism, which is kind of what you might refer to as a Faraday cell. And the Faraday cell scatters the light to the source, and you can see the light bending in these locations. But it only happens when you've got to be there quick. It's like lasts for like 72 hours or so, and it just kind of dissipates very quickly. But we have equipment to measure that, and we have equipment that measures the difference. These are micro differences in time in those locations, and these latencies are also associated to some ancient sites where we've done investigations in. There seems to be one of the same type of phenomena. It seems to be manifesting sometimes.
There's a series of photographs that was taken in Ohio. I think it was Cincinnati, Ohio, in the very late 1940s of a UFO that was seen for several nights hovering over this town. And at the time, they had a huge spotlight. They had been celebrating the opening of something, you know, a movie theater. So they were trying to hit this object with this spotlight, and the photographs show that the spotlight is actually bending itself towards the UFO in the sky.
Let's bend something else here. It won't be bending logic, I'll tell you. Steve, Gene, Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit ShopSuperG.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is ShopSuperG.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Explain that, Tim. Bending the light? Is that what you're talking about? The spotlight?
Yes, yes. The photographs show that there's, you know, this spotlight, and about halfway up, there is actually a slight bend, and then it's like, you know, bend towards the object in the sky, which is just, you know, like a bright light or an orb.
Yeah, that can happen. We've measured those things ourselves. That is that distortion gravity. It bellows out. It gets stronger as you get to the point of central centricity. So, but it's bent, it kind of causes a slight ripple effect. So you can have light sources bent through gravitational distortion. So we asked the question, okay, so if they're manifesting, if you can materialize from somewhere, just as something in the paranormal does, because what we, here's another thing, what guys are doing in the Ghostbusters world is that they're running in with EMF meters near things that have suddenly been found on the floor and shouldn't be there, and they're measuring EMF. It's really got any high EMF spike where that location is. You move the object, the EMF doesn't follow the object, it follows the location of where it manifested. It spiked that area for a short duration of time. That EMF, what it's picking up, is that microgravitational anomaly. It's exactly the same thing on a different scale. And whatever is appearing, be it a mug from an apple or a UFO in the sky, it seems the same physics seems to be involved here, and I don't think that can be by chance. Now, that's just one event, you know, which tie together. There are many of these things. But now, we're investigating these locations with what we call flow time biosensing headbands. And these are measuring your brainwave activity in key locations where phenomena is set to manifest, or you might experience something, because we want to know what's going on, because we know they have this glamouring effect where we are induced into theta wave. And we know that, you know, that's usually when they do what, that there is this very strong connection. And it's usually also the predecessor to having more profound experiences that might go on to a contact experience of some sort. Now, we can measure to see what's happening with the human brain, because I think there's a cohabiting here between phenomena and ourselves. You know, years ago around the sales table, you know, we can conjure things. We know that because during the Skoll experiment, there was small UFOs the size of dinner plates which would fly around, and you could see them look to be real physical objects, which would fire pencil beam lights down onto the table. These had mass. They were real in our physical world at that time. And then we talk about, you know, C5. You know, having five people around a sales table conducting this type of meditation, and having five meditation guys out there with, say, with people who do C5 contacts, the conjuring of the phenomena is the real phenomena. It can be conjured. There's a conscious connection between it all. And I think it's really what's interesting is what's going on with the participants, the experiences at that time.
Well, once again, that brings up, you know, like a question that I had asked earlier. Without the participants, would the phenomena actually be able to manifest?
Well, we do have phenomena manifest when there are no people apparently around, which has been recorded. I mean, there's, you know, we get radar data from UFOs. We get incidents taking place which have been caught on camera and not been reported by public because they didn't, you know, they weren't privy to the, they didn't see it. But there is also the conscious connection with the phenomena. I mean, if you look at the Philip experiment that took place in Canada, they manifested a ghost. They made a ghost in the sense of speaking through preparation and creating it. And over a period of time, these psychologists got together and the phenomena started to manifest into kind of a tulpa, into its own living thing, in the sense of speaking, into this reality. And that's what's being done by meditators, which are hoping that a UFO will appear in the sky during a C5. It's the same thing that's happening around a seance table when we're hoping that we're going to communicate with some type of strange entity. We are very much more responsible than what we think. He isn't just a direct source as willingly to just communicate with us on random. I think there's a conjuries which are happening. They recognize it, and they can manifest to those individuals on will.
Do you think it has to be like a certain kind of individual? Are there some people more predispositioned to be able to induce or participate in this kind of phenomena than just, say, somebody you just would randomly pick up off the street?
Yes, absolutely. This has been done. You don't get to hear much about it, but, you know, like the Skoll experiment, very careful picking of mediums over a period of time. Some went, some came, until they really fine-tuned it, until they thought, this is the circle which really works. These are the right people. It's the same when Stephen Greer takes out a meditation, you know, he does these small meditation groups. There are people which really aren't suited for it. There are certain people who will always take is because they seem to have a better response to the phenomena. Yeah, absolutely. I think there is something down to those individuals. And that's what makes it interesting, because when you talk about people who having prolonged incidents throughout their lives, you know, there are certain key factors about those individuals that might continue to show a pattern of why people, and this is especially genetic, you know, goes through from family to family, why they might have certain type of experiences. They could just say people are gifted, have very good intuition, extended sensory perceptions. You can call it what you will. But the phenomenon seems to recognize and intuitively interact with those people, which maybe it's because the conscious connection is stronger with them. They're more pliable to the phenomena, and therefore the phenomena reacts back.
And this includes people that have UFO experiences as well?
Yes, it does. UFOs, people who have had UFO experiences usually always tell the same story, that they've had paranormal encounters. You'll very rarely come across one without the other. Very, very rarely. And that alone says, again, there's some form of connection between the two. Does it mean that the individual is open to all sources? could be. But in recent studies with AI, I mean, Jack Vallée, you know, he tried to get into AI years ago and creating a machine in the 60s which might lend some hand to trying to figure out some of these things. And it wasn't really possible back then. The AI was just not good enough. But nowadays, there's a system called the CRS system. And for 3 years, he fed in every single bit of data they could do. Not just about UFOs, but cryptids, the paranormal, and all the associated bits and bobs of phenomena associated with it. The little things that people really wouldn't take much note of are of importance. And he fed it into the machine, and eventually he pressed the buttons to see what he concluded. Now, what's really interesting, they were expecting reams of information to come out. He didn't. A couple of lines, really. But it was really interesting what the AI did. It recognised such huge connections between the cryptid phenomenon, reported incidents, and the little things that go along with it, and the UFO stuff, and the paranormal stuff, that the computer thought it singly was a single source. That it had to be a source that has the capabilities, what he said, a source that has the capabilities of creating physiological constructs. That's what AI came out with.
I'd really love to see the same kind of information provided now to the AIs that are coming out, you know, the ChatGPT and some of the other ones, because we have a lot more powerful machine intelligence and a lot more information that they can take in.
There are some incredible AI coming out, and it's actually some new ones coming out where they're advising people when asking information is to be nice and pleasant and ask it in a nice way, because the AI is intelligent enough to give you better responses depending on how nice you've been to it.
That seems only right to me. But, you know, speaking of AI, though, I've often thought that some of the phenomena associated, with paranormal or UFO phenomena that produces entities that do communicate with people, at times the communications seem to be almost AI based, and I suppose that's just my modern social and cultural bias coming through. But considering some of these contacts that I've investigated over the years, it does seem like that there is, it's obvious it's a non-human intelligence, communicating, but there people have described at times the communications can be almost robotic.
Yes, very much so. If you look at a lot of the 70s cases, mm-hmm. people reported that the voices were kind of seemed to be, they could never tell if they were female or male, but had an aspect of electronic sound to them.
We're getting more voices in a moment with Steve, Tim, and Gene. You know, you're in
the Pentecost.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay. but there's no way you're going to win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
The IRS has several options for paying your taxes. You can pay with IRS Direct Pay, a debit or credit card, or with an electronic funds withdrawal when you e-file your return. If you can't pay the full amount, consider paying over time with an online payment agreement or our Offer in Compromise program. Both tools are available on IRS.gov. Go to IRS.gov/payment to find an option that is best suited for you.